From DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I don't like doing "See, I told you so," because I don't know that I predicted this necessarily, but the one thing that I did promise over the course of the last few days, probably the last few weeks, when we talk about five-star wide receiver, the former five-star prospect coming out of Savannah, Georgia, Demetrius Robertson, who transferred from Cal, I said that if he came to Georgia, he would prove to be very much worth the wait. And here on this Monday, I have to admit that I do feel a bit vindicated. I feel like my opinion has validated here. Demetrius Robertson does indeed make that intention known with his video on Saturday. We were live covering it here for Dog Nation. For those of you that had a chance to check out our broadcast, I appreciate you being here for it. Chiming In Media is the group that put it all together. You can go to their YouTube page and see the whole thing. Let me show you a little snippet here for those of you who are obviously watching on video. Many of you have probably already seen this before. Demetrius Robertson kind of showing off some of his athleticism, some of those physical skills that make him such a coveted player. We already sort of knew that, but with Savannah and the Savannah River and the River Walk in the background, making his announcement to come to be a part of his home state team with the Georgia Bulldogs. That was all really good news for Georgia on Saturday. Adding that five-star receiver, whenever he becomes eligible, and by the way, more on that in a moment, whenever he becomes eligible, I just think this steps up and becomes a very interesting scenario for UGA. For the Jeff Sintel's analysis of this in the moment when Robertson made his decision was spot on. You can go to the Dog Nation video channels, both Facebook and YouTube. You can watch our full broadcast, see my full interview with Jeff Sintel. But there are a couple of things about D-Rob coming to Georgia that I thought that Jeff Sintel made really important points on, and this is really interesting. I think this all sets us up for where we want to go here today. First of all, one of the major questions that gets asked is, well, if Robertson's coming to Georgia, what does that mean for the other 2019 commits right now? Guys like Jaden Hazelwood and Dominic Blaylock. Whether it is Robertson eligible in 2018, hanging around for another year in 2019, or sitting out 2018 because of the transfer, and then being on the same roster, what we presume will include both Hazelwood and Blaylock for 2019, how does this five-star impact those five-stars? Well, as Jeff Sintel said on Saturday when he joins us, that this growing collection of five-stars that Georgia has, Demetrius Robertson certainly adds to that list, and he doesn't think Robertson's presence subtracts anything in the way of Jaden Hazelwood and Dominic Blaylock. He doesn't think that they are swayed or moved by this at all. In fact, here's how Jeff said it on Saturday. I thought this was pretty smart.
The Georgia receiver room now takes a step closer to what Alabama has in adding what we can count up as now the 17th five-star prospect who once held that coveted rating to the Georgia roster. Very simply put here, I don't think this affects the current five stars Georgia has committed at all because those two gentlemen are competitors. It's not who else is going to try and take the spot. It is the more the merrier, the more that can push one another to greatness.
And for what it's worth, I completely agree with Jeff Sintel on that. I don't think that great wide receivers are you know, dismayed by seeing other great wide receivers. I think the competitive fire burns in Dominic Blaylock. I think it burns in Jaden Hazelwood. I think it burns in guys like Kyaris Jackson, who could be sharing a practice field sooner rather than later with Demetrius Robertson. I don't think they're scared off by this kind of thing. In fact, I think they also see the sort of pragmatic approach here of good receivers make it easier on other good receivers. It's very hard to cover them all. You end up getting more single coverage. I think that's what Demetrius Robertson, whenever he's eligible, could bring to the Georgia Bulldogs here. He could make all the receivers on this roster better. Another point that Jeff Sintel made that I think is really interesting here, if you want to go back to 2016, you know, we haven't seen Kirby Smart swing and miss too much on the recruiting trail. Maybe Demetrius Robertson was an example of that in 2016. After National Signing Day was over, Kirby thinking he was going to add another five-star to that 2016 class. Ultimately, Robertson chose Cal over UGA, and maybe now we're talking about a bit of a do-over for both Georgia, Kirby Smart, and Demetrius Robertson on this. It's kind of a pleasant thought for Georgia fans.
Perhaps Georgia's biggest recruiting miss of the Kirby Smart era was Demetrius Robertson. Everybody remembers him as a Savannah kid, the nation's number one receiver for 2016. At one time, he was committed to Alabama. Deep-rooted recruiting relationships with both Kirby Smart and also with Glenn Schumann on the Georgia staff. Now, this second chance maybe erases the biggest recruiting miss so far in the Kirby Smart era at Georgia.
Some of y'all are way better at math than I am. I would be curious, though, for a class that was in the top 10 in 2016, if you add Demetrius Robertson to that, how does that change that ranking? Does it go up? Obviously, the overall score is going to go up. But adding the other five-star, now, that's probably not completely fair to do that, given the fact that so much time has passed since 2016. That was a guy that Georgia thought it was going to have a chance to add and then didn't. Now does. When you look at the overall, you know, number three overall class for 2017, number one overall class for 2018, Kirby Smart's initial class at Georgia looks pretty good now, too, given the fact that they've gotten a do-over here on Demetrius Robertson and sort of brought him into the fold. Now, off the top of the program, I did kind of take a little jab and have a little fun at some of the people who've been like, oh, gosh, this Demetrius Robertson thing is, you know, too much a hype, too much attention. Wake me up when this is over. Let me know when he's coming to UGA. No interest in seeing his commitment video. No interest in the sort of continual hype. And, yes, here in our program, we probably are a little guilty of hyperbole from time to time. We're certainly guilty of kind of focusing in on some of the hype and attention here. We probably contribute to that environment here a little bit. But when you listen to the specs for Demetrius Robertson, both in terms of his physical characteristics, what he did in his one full season at Cal in 2016 and who Jeff Sintel compared him to, you realize that this hype is with reason. There is a reason why a lot of Georgia fans are excited about adding Demetrius Robertson. As Jeff Sintel explains, he really fares pretty favorably, compares pretty favorably to a Georgia receiver that's already on the roster that UGA fans love. Well, guess what? According to Jeff Sintel, you may have just duplicated Mecole Hardman's productivity for Georgia. Here's Jeff.
It gives Georgia another lethal slot receiver. I think the most immediate player parallel we can go to here is a slightly bigger Mecole Hardman. It would be a heck of a match race to see who's faster in the 40, who's faster in and out of cuts. I would probably give the edge to D-Rob in terms of maybe the contested catches on balls and also maybe pure deep threat, straight-ahead speed, but that is a mighty close match race there as well.
I mean, how about that for a moment? If you look at our comment section every single day, both in terms of the folks who watch us live on video and the folks who maybe listen to the show either on the radio or in the podcast form and then send me a message at Dog Nation Daily on Twitter, Mecole Hardman is one of the most popular players in this roster. Georgia fans have massive expectations for Mecole Hardman in 2018, both as a kick returner and as a wide receiver. And what Jeff said right there is that Demetrius Robertson is sort of another Mecole Hardman, except he may be just a little bit bigger, and he may be, and I want to be careful here with Mecole because Mecole is a blazing speed guy himself, but he may be just a little bit faster and maybe a little bit more of a sure thing on deep threat throws. Well, you had me at hello, if that's your description for Demetrius Robertson here coming in and fitting into this Georgia offense either in 2018 or 2019. And by the way, here's where the conversation on D-Rob gets very, very interesting, because I've admitted before, I am not an expert when it comes to NCAA rules. There are plenty of people who know the tedium and the minutiae of this rule book far better than I do. I have been heavily under the assumption that Robertson would come here, have to sit out 2018, and then be eligible in 2019, because that's what transfers do, right? They sit out a year. Not fully maybe understanding the hardship rules. Sometimes this stuff, I think, is sort of intentionally confusing. But my assumption was he'd be sitting out for 2018 and then eligible in 2019. Jeff Sintel, though, when he was with us on Saturday, says that assumption may just flat out be wrong. Here is a very interesting suggestion, anyway, of how this all may play out for Demetrius Robertson here from Jeff Sintel.
I think it's still very much up in the air. I think that maybe the transfer appeal, you got to look at a couple of things. Number one, I mean, he just sat out all of 2017 season. He received a medical red shirt, and he, you know, by the letter of the NCAA law, has three more remaining seasons of eligibility after a brilliant freshman year at Cal, where he caught a team-high 7 touchdowns. But since he sat out all of 2017 for a medical issue and received a medical redshirt, he's also applied for his transfer due to a hardship case. That's to be closer to his family for very personal reasons. The one thing you'll look at here is that would involve Robertson sitting out 2 consecutive seasons. So that will receive a very interesting ruling by the NCAA. I think it helps that he's transferring to stay very close to home. He has family in the Savannah area, and also his mother is in the Atlanta area as well.
So that's an interesting description from Jeff of what the hardship claim for Robertson would be, given the fact that he's coming back closer to home here. The climate around the NCAA is sort of more player-friendly than it used to be. So maybe Robertson does indeed have a chance to win this appeal, become eligible in 2018. I think it all gets really, really interesting when you start thinking about that. Jeff didn't make a point to make it clear. It remains to be seen. And obviously, the NCAA denying this hardship claim is still out there as a possibility. But Jeff definitely spoke up to say, don't be so quick to assume that this young man can't play in 2018. It's worth pointing out here that Demetrius Robertson, the folks from Chiming In Media who did his commitment video, also had, I guess, the only interview with him from the weekend here as well. And in the midst of Demetrius Robertson talking about what he brings to the table for UGA, he was also asked by the Chiming In folks about this 2018 eligibility issue, and Robertson said what he could about that, about the chance to play here this season. Here is Demetrius Robertson with Chiming In Media.
I think I bring my focus, my determination, hard work and ability, pushing guys, you know, to be the best you can be, being an example on and off the field for the student athletes and for the community.
I know Georgia fans are looking forward to getting you on the field as fast as possible. So what's the deal with the NCAA? Have you heard about if you'll be able to play next year, or what's the deal with that?
We're still working things out with that. We'll know about that in due time with compliance.
I guess so once you get to Georgia, though, compliance will check
that out. That'll be out and everything. No, that's awesome.
So you hear Demetrius Robertson there with Chiming In Media saying that it's all going to be discovered in due time, whether or not he's eligible in 2018. But he's obviously leaning on the folks from Georgia, their compliance department, to help out with this. I mean, the bottom line for me on this entire discussion is this is really simple. It's exciting to have Demetrius Robertson in a Georgia uniform for Dog fans whenever he suits up, be it 2018 or 2019. But specifically here for 2018, if this appeal goes down, if the hardship case is won, and Demetrius Robertson's eligible in 2018, I think it completely changes the calculus for the Georgia Bulldogs. If you looked at one of the reasons why George was maybe in that sort of like top five category as opposed to like, say, top one, two, or three category, truly proven wide receivers, a collection of guys to go alongside Terry Godwin, may have been one of the things that some experts thought George was missing. If Demetrius Robertson's playing, George is not missing that anymore, and a very good team maybe just got even better. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Good to have you with us, no matter how you're getting to us today. Watching us on video, live at 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook page, Dog Nation YouTube page. We're there for you on the Dog Nation Twitter feed as well, and we're glad you're with us. Also for our friends on the radio, app at Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We love being on the radio there in the Classic City, and for those of you enjoying a summer there in Athens, thanks for checking us out on the radio as you're driving around to lunch or whatever it is you've got going on. Of course, in podcast form, we sort of think of that as the on-demand way to check out our program. You can do it no matter where you find podcasts. Hopefully, you can find Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. Apple devices, the Android devices there on the Google Podcast platform, the world-famous DogNation.com, SoundCloud. We try to put the show out there, and we are really, really glad that you all have found it. And, of course, we're really glad you're also continuing to support our friends at Marco's Pizza because they make Dog Nation Daily possible. And right now, Marco's Pizza invites you to say hello, Primo, with a great offer. Two medium, two topping pizzas for just $6.99 each. It's every store every day the Italian way. $6.99 each for two medium, two topping pizzas. That is a great deal. Sit around the pool, enjoy some time with friends and family, and enjoy some great, authentic, Italian quality pizza. It is awesome there from Marco's Pizza, and it's great to have them with us here today on our Dog Nation Daily. We've got Chip Towers coming up in a moment. Let me also take care of a little more business here, because Georgia adding Demetrius Robertson was not the only recruiting story of the weekend, as you know. Georgia also adds a defensive lineman, Zion Lowe, from Lebanon, Tennessee. Now, Zion Lowe becomes the first three-star member of this Georgia recruiting class, but have no fear here. There is a thought here that the recruiting community may be a little slow in catching up on Logue. He's obviously a player of need for Georgia at the defensive line position. And Jeff Sintel, who traveled to Lebanon, Tennessee to speak to Zion Logue, kind of gave us the skinny on him, the update on him. And you get the sense from Jeff that he thinks that recruiting ranking could be going up. Here is how Jeff introduced a video with Logue over the weekend. And in doing that, I think he gives a pretty good sort of description and introduction of Logue for Georgia fans here. Take a listen to Jeff Sintel.
It's another happy night in Georgia and Lebanon, Tennessee, wherever you guys might be viewing. We've got the man of the hour, the newest UGA commit, Zion Logue, out of Lebanon, Tennessee. We've got all the family here. We've got some of the most delicious, I think it's five-star cake going on right now. We got Auntie's house. We got everybody in the house. Want to say hello to everybody, and you got about maybe 20 seconds before you meet 6'5½, 288, 89, 85. He did eat a lot today, so he's probably about 290 right now. Zion Logue. Georgia goes into Tennessee. That some might say that's Jeremy Pruitt's new backyard, and snatches a prize defensive lineman. Totally kind of different prospect than the one that kind of has that three-star rating. His junior film and most of his analysis came about 40, 45 pounds ago. So it'll be very interesting in order to see where his rankings go. See if that Georgia bump is out there now, which everybody knows used to happen with a Bama bump.
So go to the Dog Nation Facebook page. You can see the full video that Jeff Sintel did with Zion Logue and his family from Lebanon, Tennessee, there as Georgia adds another member to this 2019 class, the coveted defensive line position. It sounds like Jeff thinks Zion Logue's going to be pretty good. We'll talk a lot about that throughout the week here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. We're going to be very, very busy with all the recruiting news and SEC media days. We're just really glad you're with us, and especially glad to have Chip Towers with us. In fact, hope you enjoy him right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Love having Chip Towers on a Monday here on a Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. Chip, thanks so much for your time. Hope you had a nice weekend. Loved your piece with Nick Chubb from Cedartown from this past week. We'll talk about that coming up in a couple of minutes, and hope everything's been going great with you.
Yeah, it's great. You know, football's here, Brandon. Apologize if there's a little bit of an echo in here, but I'm actually in the lobby of the Omni Hotel. Registration ongoing for the 1,000 media or so that are descending on our fair city for SEC Media Days. And Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the conference, will open the proceedings at 11:30 this morning. So about to search for the food table and get a little sustenance, and then Mike Griffith and I will be grinding over the next 4 days, trying to bring relevance to each coach and player that comes up there, relevance to Georgia and Dog Nation, you know, why you should be interested in this team or this player or that player. So that's about to get underway. So it's like I'm at a starting line here, waiting for the pistol to fire. And you're the first call I'm answered, so I'm excited about that.
Well, I'm excited too, Chip, and I want to talk about SEC Media Days coming up in a moment. Before that, let me get the news of the hour, some thoughts from you on this. As Georgia adds Demetrius Robertson, we'll find out soon when he can play, whether it be 2018 or 2019, but we know that's a big addition for Georgia. I think we talked about this a little bit last week, but the one thing that I said before you joined us on the show here is I've never been an expert on NCAA rules. That's just not my forte. I find some of that stuff to be sort of tedious and boring. But in this particular case, this is a pretty interesting issue here, and it sounds like Robertson's chances of winning this appeal and maybe being eligible in 2018 may be a little better than I initially thought that it would be here. I just sort of assume transfer, sit out a year. Maybe it's not quite that cut and dry, that maybe Robertson does have a chance to sort of lean on this hardship, case and sort of lean on the current climate around the NCAA. Maybe Georgia fans see Robertson playing in a Georgia uniform sooner rather than later. That's certainly the hope, but it seems like there's some steam behind that hope. Is that kind of what you're hearing here?
Well, you know, really, when it comes to the NCAA and eligibility matters, I mean, you just, you know, I wouldn't put it in any better than 50-50 at this moment.
Because, sure.
I mean, there's a lot of reason to think that this could happen because, hey, at the end of the day, you know, this kid's not coming to Georgia if they don't think they can get him eligible to play right away. I mean, they're certainly making every effort they can. And I've talked to people at Georgia who are, you know, involved in this type of thing. And you really can't be sure, you know, there's the commitment part of it. Now that you've got a commitment and all that, now you're dealing with the data, you know, transcripts and details and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, but we should know something relatively quick. I would be surprised if we didn't know something by the end of this coming week and maybe before then. I mean, after all, Kirby Smart's going to be here at SEC Media Days on Tuesday, and I'm sure the first question that anybody has for him is going to be, you know, regarding Demetrius Robertson and his eligibility question. So he'll get asked about it. I'm sure he'll have a you know, a vague answer probably at that point. But, you know, you never know. There could be a final answer. And I think one of the reasons that Georgia won is just the ability to possibly win an appeal like this, that him coming back home as opposed to going to another place, say West Virginia or Texas, especially being back in the area, you know, will be a factor.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting thing for Kirby Smart on Tuesday when he goes to SEC Media Days when it comes to Demetrius Robertson. Chip, you'll remember that back in 2016, Robertson had signed his financial aid paperwork. Therefore, Smart was able to talk about Robertson and did speak about him. There were several audio clips that I've collected over the years of Kirby talking about Robertson from back then. I don't know if the fact that he was on campus at Cal and signed a letter of intent, if he's now prohibited from mentioning his name or not. I'll admit that I'm not aware of that, but this seems like the kind of thing that Kirby, if he can, will want to use this platform to sort of petition, even if he can't mention Robertson by name, use this platform to sort of petition for how he thinks things should be, and I'm sure he thinks there ought to be an NCAA rule that allows Robertson to play at Georgia. So seeing how either head-on Kirby takes this or if he's forced to sidestep the issue, it'll kind of be interesting to see what he uses his pulpit to speak about when it comes to this on Tuesday.
Well, as of yesterday, Georgia can't do anything to confirm that they're recruiting the kid, which, you know, it's kind of funny in this day and age where the, you know, entire world knows that he has, you know, made a public commitment to the University of Georgia. They can only confirm that they are actively recruiting him. So I would imagine, you know, details will be very sketchy, you know, until we get a little bit further down the road. But here, you know, here's what I know. I mean, and I'm sure you said the same thing, Brandon. I mean, you know, when it comes to Kirby Smart and transfers and what he's been able to do in his first 3 years, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised a bit if they're able to get him eligible this season. And I think that's a big deal. I mean, if they get him eligible for this season, I think his transfer is a big deal. If they can't get him eligible for this season, I don't see it as quite as big a deal. I mean, I think he's a great player. I don't know until you get into the SEC and you get into this competition. You can't be 100% sure that what he did at Cal translates to the SEC. But if he can come in and get on the field immediately for Georgia, I mean, that's a potential for a major difference maker, a guy that would be in your rotation immediately and a guy that, you know, changes the dynamics of Georgia's offense significantly, I think.
So the SEC Media Days, which is the big convention of coaches, players, and reporters every single year. It's been Hoover, Alabama, there at the Winfrey Hotel going back for as long as I can remember. It is in Atlanta this year. It begins today, as you and I are speaking here on this Monday. And I'm curious about the vibe. You know, I think the SEC is trying to make this into like a big event, the kind of thing that sort of exits the world of just reporters and media types and also becomes relevant for fans as well. I know there was a big event yesterday in the Centennial Park area. I didn't get a chance to go to that. But overall, I mean, do you think this event's going to have like a big sort of feel and vibe to it? Are fans going to care about this, or is this still going to essentially be like media camp, which is what it's kind of been in the past?
Well, you know, that kind of remains to be seen. This is a big experiment for the SEC for sure. And you know, the first experiment to that end was the SEC Summerfest kickoff. I think they called it last night, and they had a country music guy playing in Centennial Olympic Park. They had the SEC Nation personalities walking around everywhere, and they were on live from 6 to 8. I got there, you know, kind of late in the afternoon, early evening, and the crowd, you know, wasn't huge, but it was a decent showing, and it dissipated considerably after the Atlanta United crowd, which was kind of funny, you know, the kind of the marriage of soccer fans, but they were all over the place. You know, a lot of them that I talked to were also Georgia fans or fans of other SEC schools, and they're definitely incorporating fans into the whole proceedings. I just came from the Hall of Fame, the College Football Hall of Fame, and you know, they've got a big blue carpet as opposed to a red carpet and roped off, you know, for fans to come in there and be able to see their favorite players and coaches. They'll be allowed to get autographs and pictures as they come into that area and go back out. As they make the rounds to all the different media stations that they have set up around here, so they're definitely embracing the fans. But it's, you know, it's an experiment, so we'll have to see how it works out this year and we'll be watching that closely.
So Kirby Smart's getting his turn tomorrow, along with the Georgia players, Terry Godwin and J.R. Reed and Jonathan Ledbetter. We talked last week a little bit about what we thought Kirby Smart might be asked a lot of questions about. You mentioned he'll certainly be asked about Demetrius Roberts, and whether he's able to answer is, I guess, a different story. I know there'll be a lot of questions about Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. What else do you think Kirby Smart's going to be dealing with a lot tomorrow when it comes to whether it be the local reporters that cover Georgia every single day or kind of the people from around the country, around the region? What are the questions that you think Smart probably ends up being fielded the most here?
Well, I think the biggest difference is going to be, you know, sort of the pressure to repeat. Everybody knows about the amount of leadership that Georgia lost off of last year's team. Georgia's going to be in the mix when it comes to, you know, SEC championship expectations, national championship playoff expectations. If you just gauge, you know, all the different preseason polls and such, you know, Georgia's expected to be in the mix there. And so they'll get a lot of questions about whether they can sustain that or whether last year was an anomaly, especially with all the experience and key players that they lost off of last year's team. So I would imagine that's going to be the gist of it. You know, the from Justin Fields thing definitely won't go away anytime soon, and I would imagine they'll embrace that talk tomorrow. Kirby's going to play that up. I mean, I don't think he's going to play that down beyond the fact that that Jake Fromm is our starter, is what he'll probably say. But, you know, every position is being competed for.
Yeah, you know, last year, if you think about it, he really talked a lot about – he sort of talked up Fromm in this, you know, leading up to SEC Media Day. He's kind of talking about how he was going to push Eason and he was bringing a lot to the competition. And then at SEC Media Days, it almost seemed like he reversed course in terms of sort of starting to talk up Jacob Eason a little bit more. And to me, there's always some sort of motivation seemingly behind everything that Kirby Smart says. I do think that'll be sort of a curious thing tomorrow in terms of, does he just sort of talk about the nature of competition for competition's sake, or does he tout in any way, you know, even if it's by a margin of like 55% over 45%, does he end up touting one of these guys at the expense of the other? I think that's what's going to be kind of an interesting thing to see here, because in the past, Kirby Smart sort of used these kinds of platforms to send a message.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that. I mean, I think that's what he does, and it'll be interesting to see what his what tack he takes in that regard in particular. But, I mean, I do believe this is a coach who believes fundamentally in the importance of competition for building excellence out of every player. So I don't necessarily expect him to downplay, you know, the competition between those two. Now, I think any of us who watched Jake Fromm last year, you and I have talked about it, you know, at different junctures all summer, you know, that wasn't smoke and mirrors Georgia was using with that quarterback to get where they got. And, you know, I'm a little bit incredulous that, you know, Justin Fields could win the position in practice with that type of resume and on field. But now once you get into the heat of competition and, you know, things aren't going right, you know, whether it be against South Carolina or LSU on the road at Missouri, I mean, that's where changes can be made. And, you know, I've witnessed this type of dynamic up close and personal many times over the years. You know, the most closely I can think about is certainly DJ Shockley and David Green. And, you know, while David Green was the starter and ended his career as the winningest quarterback in Georgia history, there were several times that DJ Shockley came in before he became the sole starter, that he came in and had to win games for Georgia. You know, David Green just wasn't getting it done, and they needed a different dynamic. And I don't think there's any question that's what you're going to see with Justin Fields. I mean, you know, here we're going to see a lot of Justin Fields this season because the kid's just going to have to play. But Jake Fromm, man, I tell you what, that's quite a on-field resume, and it's very difficult for me to think of all that just being cast aside based on how somebody looks in practice.
I want to finish here in a moment with that really good piece that you wrote, catching up with Nick Chubb in his hometown of Cedartown this past week. Let me squeeze in one more thing before we get there, though. One of the other things that happens at SEC Media Days, which is always fascinating, is the media vote when you predict the order of finish and the all-SEC teams. Chip, this has got to be one of those years in which Georgia's going to end up being a preseason favorite by a margin wider than virtually it's ever been before. You know, Vegas already has Georgia as a favorite against the rest of the field, more likely to win the East than the rest of the division combined. I would imagine that the rest of the reporters are going to kind of fall in line with that as well. We're probably looking at Georgia walking out of this thing as a fairly overwhelming favorite to win this division, correct?
Yeah, I would imagine so. I don't expect anything different than that. You know, it's of course, you know, you got the talking heads and SEC Nation going basically around the clock on this thing. And already the talk has turned to, you know, who could be the dark horse in the SEC East in particular. You know, and people are pointing to Florida in particular and South Carolina. I hear a lot of buzz around Florida. And look, I'm not discounting Florida. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of people use the term sleeping giant with regard to Georgia when Kirby got there. And I think we all know, you know, the recruiting base for Florida, the type of school they are. And I think Dan Mullen is certainly the kind of guy that can put all that together for the Gators. But I think it's going to take a little bit of time. So I think that's what you'll hear. You'll hear a lot of buzz about the Florida Gators. You'll hear a good bit about South Carolina, and certainly the quarterback play in the league has improved considerably. But at the end of the day, I see Georgia probably being a runaway favorite in the East when people have to put their votes down to paper.
All right, quick final thing for you. You wrote a great piece last week with former Georgia running back Nick Chubb, and I hope the folks that haven't seen that yet at Dog Nation, I know many people have, but I hope the folks that haven't seen that yet will go to Dog Nation and read what you've written in that regard. And, Chip, my response to reading this is, I don't know where you land on this, but, you know, Chubb never disappoints, right? I mean, you know, this persona that he's carried around with him for 4 years at Georgia, he's apparently taken with him in the NFL. He's sort of the quiet, unassuming superstar, a wonderful contrast to the histrionics of Baker Mayfield, which I do not enjoy. And the fact that, you know, Chubb's sort of already thinking back on, you know, how to take care of his hometown and how to, you know, represent them well at this next phase of his life, the professional phase of his career. It's just really cool to see that Nick Chubb just keeps on being Nick Chubb, which I think is a very good thing.
Yeah, he's the gift that just keeps on giving as Clark Griswold was told. And it was one of those things. It was interesting, you know, his handlers, his marketing people, you know, just sent me a message saying that, you know, something was going to be going on with Nick Chubb and a surprise over there at Cedartown. And I guess I'll go over there and check it out. You're right. He never disappoints. It ended up being a great gesture, him giving those Zenith Elite Plus helmet to his alma mater. And, you know, really the interesting thing to me was the story behind the story. I hadn't realized that, you know, Mr. Observant Reporter here, that he was wearing those Zenith helmets for the past 4 years at Georgia. And it goes back to his time at Cedartown High School. And if you look at Nick Chubb, everything that he's doing now as a professional athlete has some kind of personal connection to him, whether it be Zenith helmets, whether it be his relationship with Dodge, whether it be his relationship with his strength and conditioning coach at high school, which he's still training at Cedartown High for his upcoming NFL career. He's about a week away from having to report up to Berea, Ohio, and the camp, the Browns camp up there. He does not disappoint, the way you put it. And this is just the beginning. You know, Nick intimated to me about a lot of stuff that he wants to be eventually, but he's got his priorities right. He's doing these small gestures right now. But after that, he's going to concentrate on his NFL career, and he plans on doing some grand gestures for Cedartown, the University of Georgia, and all these people who have had who have touched his lives. He wants to give back at the end of his NFL career, and I think that's a smart tack to take.
Boy, that's really cool, Jeff. Great reporting, great story, really fun stuff. I know it's going to be really interesting this week, SEC Media Days in Atlanta. We're glad to have you and Mike Griffith there representing Dog Nation and bring home all the information, and we'll look forward to catching up with you here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza again very soon.
All right. See you, buddy.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, SEC Media Days this week. I think it's going to be really fascinating. And, you know, Kirby Smart getting his turn tomorrow. And, you know, I think a lot of times, and if Kirby's listening to this right now, he's going to be furious. But it is true. I think a lot of times with Kirby, the most interesting stuff is reading between the lines. You know, if you just look at the transcript, sometimes, you know, the actual text of the Kirby Smart answers when he's asked about certain issues, they may not give you a whole lot, but in terms of what Kirby Smart doesn't say, sometimes that's more interesting than what he does say, and the way in which Kirby Smart says things, I think a lot of times can be interesting. So we'll have our ear to the ground here this week trying to infer everything that kind of comes out of the Georgia guys there at SEC Media Days, and we'll try to figure out, you know, what the rest of this league is kind of thinking about the Dogs here this year and some of those UGA rivals. Do any of them sort of spout off and say anything this week? We'll try to do our best to pay close attention to that, as it is in Atlanta, Georgia, just a few miles down the road from where I'm sitting right now. So That's kind of an interesting, unique thing. And it's also kind of, you know, when you, if you've ever been before, and I've been a lot, it's honestly not my favorite event in the world. I do have to admit that. But if you've been before, you know, there is a lobby in the hotel at the old place in Alabama where, you know, a lot of Alabama fans congregated. And when Nick Saban walked in, it was legitimately like one of the biggest celebrities in the world had entered a hotel. It'd be like if, you know, a Kardashian showed up at a Hollywood or a Beverly Hills hotel, something along those lines. That's the way the Alabama folks treated Saban when he walked in, with good reason. Saban's obviously won a lot there. And, you know, it almost felt like most of the other SEC coaches were, from a celebrity standpoint, just an entire magnitude of wattage below what Nick Saban is. Now that the SEC Media Days event is in the home state of Georgia here for Kirby Smart and the Bulldogs, I wonder if all of a sudden the Kirby Smart sort of feels like the big star. Now, he hasn't been coaching nearly as long as Nick Saban has. That's certainly, you know, fair to point out. Hasn't, you know, had as much on-field success. But I imagine the wattage that Kirby Smart brings as a superstar coach here, I imagine it's going to feel a lot bigger with this event taking place in Atlanta in comparison to in the past there over in the state of Alabama. We'll certainly watch that to a see. As far as what to expect from SEC Media Days here today, let's make that the subject of our SEC through here. And as Chip Towers mentioned a moment ago, the Commissioner Greg Sankey going to speak to the folks today. In fact, he's probably, you know, as I'm saying this right now, he's probably in the midst of speaking right now. He may even be close to being done. And for the most part, normally when the commissioner steps up to speak, it's mostly has the feeling of sort of like a public relations release, you know, sort of a PR campaign to talk about how great everything is around the SEC. I don't know that that's all that Greg Sankey should be asked about today, though. I do think that there is a degree of tough questioning that Sankey should potentially face. First of all, there are issues in terms of what is the SEC going to do to either reject or embrace the new gambling laws. Mississippi's a state where casinos are prevalent. They would seem to be pretty quick here to ratify some gambling, sports gambling legislation, legalizing that in the state of Mississippi. Mississippi's in the heart of what we think of as SEC country. Is the SEC going to embrace this? They're going to fight against that? I'm sure that Sankey will be asked about that. The same with alcohol in stadiums. You know, some of y'all, that's a big issue, either in terms of some of you that want it, some of you that don't want it. You know, what does Greg Sankey have to say about that? I guess there'll be some discussion on that. But even further so, I wonder if Sankey's going to be asked about this. Have you noticed that lately it seems like there's a lot of intramural squabbling that goes on the SEC? And that's not necessarily new, but it seems to have been pretty intense as of late. You can go back to 2016 when Kirby Smart and Nick Saban seemed to be battling over Maurice Smith. There was the same kind of graduate transfer battle involving Kennedy, the offensive lineman, who ended up going to Tennessee this year. There was the issue with Joe Oliva, the LSU athletic director, and Florida going back to the cancellation of that game a couple of seasons ago. There was the weird thing with Missouri and South Carolina over women's basketball. You know, there are some issues where it seems like there would be an opportunity for a stronger commissioner to step up. Sankey's chosen to sort of stay in the background on that. I am kind of curious to find out why that is, and I'm hoping he's asked about that when he speaks to some of the media outlets here today. Jimbo Fisher also going, the Texas A&M coach. I think the issue here with Fisher and Texas A&M is that Texas A&M, although it's a major program, big dollars, huge fan base, has never to me felt like a full-fledged member of the SEC. I don't think that Johnny Manziel's presence did much change that, although Manziel was a sensational player, helped upset Alabama. Even back then, A&M did not feel like a full-fledged member of the SEC. I wonder, with Jimbo Fisher, a national championship-winning coach, walking around, does all of a sudden Texas A&M now feel like it's fully a part of the SEC? I am kind of curious to see that. I believe the Kentucky coach, Mark Stoops, will be asked a lot, probably about the comments from Lincoln Riley. You know, Stoops is the brother of the former Oklahoma coach, Bob Stoops. He would seem to have a bit of a tie to the Big 12, obviously a tie to the SEC. He's a defensive-minded guy himself. What does he think about SEC defenses against Big 12 offenses? My guess is certainly plenty of the national reporters will ask Mark Stoops about that. Otherwise, what are you going to ask the coach of Kentucky? It wouldn't seem like there's a whole lot of interesting stuff to chat with him about if you don't want to get into some of that controversy. My guess is that that's where that goes down. And then the most interesting presence for SEC Media Days today from the standpoint of a Georgia fan is probably the LSU coach Ed Orgeron, who will talk a lot about offense today. He's going to be asked a lot about Joe Burrow, the transferring quarterback from Ohio State. Is Burrow now the favorite to win that job? Orgeron probably won't bite on answering that question in sort of an authentic fashion, but nonetheless, it's going to be asked a lot. And the weird relationship that he probably had with Matt Canada that led to Canada's ouster after just 1 year there, bringing in former Georgia offensive coordinator Steve Ensminger, and by former I mean like three decades ago, but nonetheless, a one-time play caller at Georgia, installing him as the LSU offensive coordinator. How big of a change is that going to make on this LSU offense here? As I said, this is relevant for Georgia fans because Georgia goes to Baton Rouge in October. Whatever that new-look LSU offense does truly look like, Georgia's got to face it. So we'll find out then what all this is about. But Ed Orgeron maybe gives us a bit of a preview for that at SEC Media Days today. It should be fun. Dog Nation's going to be all over it with a lot of coverage. And for now, we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza, I want to take a lot of your comments here, both in terms of what we do on video and in terms of what you do for those of you who are listening to the show, reaching out to me on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. Love to hear your thoughts on everything from the show today. I want you to talk about Demetrius Robertson, and I want you to talk about Zion Logue, the two new commitments. I'm curious to find out where those decisions land with you, your level of excitement for them. But in particular, I also want to do our Dog Day Q&A. You know, every day this time of year, we like to sort of loosen things up, the format a bit, and give a little more deference to some of the comments and some of the user and listener viewer input here, and that's what our Dog Day Q&A gives us a chance to do. And tomorrow, Kirby Smart will be at SEC Media Days, and he is going to be asked a million questions by famous reporters, by reporters who just sort of showed up out of nowhere, by sort of everybody in between. A lot of the questions will be the same one over and over again. Some of them will actually be insightful, though. I am curious, though, from you, if you had the microphone in your hand, same way I've got a microphone right now, and you could ask Kirby Smart one question right now, what's the question you would ask him? Because a lot of reporters are going to have their turn tomorrow at SEC Media Days to ask Kirby Smart a question. But if you could ask a question, what would it be? You can weigh in on that as a part of our Dog Day Q&A in the comment section. We'll look forward to having that going on for right now. Really interesting stuff. In the Facebook comment section, Matt Rukavina talking about how long it's been since Texas A&M and Georgia haven't played. Matt says that Texas A&M is due to come to Athens in 2019, I think. I actually don't know when they're scheduled to come here. But it's certainly, you know, they've never played since Texas A&M's been a part of the SEC. I mentioned the fact that Jimbo Fisher is at SEC Media Days this week, and I talked about the fact that they've never really felt like a full-fledged member of the SEC yet. It could be that Matt's, you know, assumption here is right. The fact they haven't played Georgia yet is a big part of that. And once they actually do play Georgia, maybe for, you know, for me, someone who's wearing the Dog Nation red and black right now, you know, maybe at that point in time, maybe they'll feel more full-fledged like a member of the SEC. That may be a very good point there. We'll get some of your comments here on YouTube as well. I know based on what I was seeing earlier, it looks like there is a good bit of excitement about Demetrius Robertson being added in the fold, and I think there's a lot of curiosity about Zion Logue. This is a player that I think is sort of quickly grown in stature to the getting George's attention. When Jeff's here tomorrow, I'm sure we'll talk more about what Zion Logue brings to the table, but you can kind of weigh in on that. Dapper Dan says the question that he would ask Kirby Smart, if he could ask any question, is does he prefer his fried chicken dark meat or white meat? I will say that for me, I used to be a big dark meat guy. I used to love the legs and the thighs. I've sort of gone completely now to the white meat. I'm sort of a wing breast guy now. I've sort of gone straight white meat with my fried chicken now. But that's a question that Kirby Smart could answer. Jacob Mahaffey says, ask him about tight ends. He'd love that. Yeah, Kirby Smart loves getting that same tight end question over and over again. He certainly pushed back on that for a while. I'm a SEC man in the Facebook comment and the YouTube comment section says we got to start playing our Western brethren more often, period. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I know that Mike Johnson, my buddy, loves the idea of a 9-game conference schedule. I wouldn't mind that myself. So a lot of good comments coming in on video. We'll take some more of these. And if you want to reach out to me on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily, we'll give you a chance to do that, too. All right, so good to have you with us here today. Busy show, a lot to get to, and I think we got it all. Hopefully we did. And as I said before, I'm excited about Demetrius Robertson. And, you know, Chip said it's a bigger deal if he's eligible in 2018 than 2019, and I agree with Chip on that, but I'll also add to that that, you know, if you have to wait a year for Robertson and you can pair him with guys like, you know, Jaden Hazelwood and Dominic Blaylock, at that point in time, you know, this is about stockpiling talent. And if you have to wait till 2019 to do it, I still think it's worth the wait for Georgia fans. But obviously, it's a big, big deal if he's eligible in 2018. Of course, I guess the dire scenario is here, if he's forced to sit out 2018, could just go on to the draft that spring. And listen, that's always a possibility. These are the risks that you have to take here. Nonetheless, let me close out the show the way we always do. Around here, we love hating on those lousy, stinking Gators. And 103 days from right now, we think Georgia beats them again. It's our Gator Header Countdown. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.